Amen. Thank you, Brother Alex, for coming before us tonight and sharing some thoughts concerning one of the greatest events in the history of the human race, the crossing of the Red Sea by the children of Israel. You know, that is mentioned in the Bible dozens of times, so it has a great significance. And I appreciated your thoughts tonight, and also the crossing of the Jordan River. You know, the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt for 400 plus years. That's a long time. That's almost twice as long as the United States has been a country. But the time came when God brought them out of slavery and delivered them in through the Red Sea into the wilderness. But the sad thing is, even though their bodies were out of Egypt, their minds were still thinking a lot like the Egyptians. Egypt was not out of them. So that they built a golden calf and began to worship it at Mount Sinai. And where did they learn that? Not from God, not from Moses, but they had learned that in Egypt, how to worship idols. And their murmuring and their complaining was not from the Lord. And I think there's a great lesson for us in that tonight. We may be children of God. We may be born of the Holy Spirit. We may have a new nature. We may be on our way to heaven. But we can still have the mind of the flesh and the mind of this world. We can still think like people of the world. And tonight I want to go back to Romans chapter 12, where I was this morning, and I don't want to rehearse that sermon, but I do want to begin in verse 1 and read the verses that I endeavored to preach on this morning. Paul would say, and I mentioned this morning, this verse has had a powerful effect on my life since I was a teenager. Paul would say in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I beg of you, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is calling on all of us to present our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice. Does God have a right to do that? Well, Paul says it's a reasonable service. There's nothing unreasonable about what God is asking of us. And there's two primary reasons for that. First of all, He gave us our bodies. We are His creation. We didn't make ourselves. And secondly, His Son, Jesus, came into the world and lived in a body that was prepared for Him. And then He took that body and went to Calvary and died for us. So now He's asking us to take our bodies and present them to Him as a living sacrifice. We don't like that word sacrifice. The flesh doesn't. But God is calling on us to make some sacrifices in His service. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2. I'd like to, Lord willing, get into this verse tonight. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul is writing to the church at Rome and to us tonight here at Cool Springs, not to be conformed to this world. The world is always trying to pressure us into becoming worldly. Did y'all ever feel that? The world is trying to pressure us into being like the world. And Satan has a lot of tools that he uses to get us to conform to this world. And one of the tools that he has had in the last several years is television. I want to tell you, television is a tool in the hand of the enemy. When television started, it was fairly neutral and not threatening to the children of God. And you know those early TV shows like I Love Lucy, Andy Griffith. I watch Andy Griffith every afternoon at 5:30. It's my comic relief for the day. I just love it. And Barney, I don't want to watch it if Barney's not on it. And the truth is, in every episode, they're teaching some good moral lesson with humor. I Love Lucy. That was a decent show. Father Knows Best. Now, I'm dating myself. Some of y'all don't go back that far. But I'm telling you, TV was, the first television we got was mostly snow. And if y'all ever remember those old TVs, about all you had was some snow. You might occasionally pick up Channel 13 out of Macon. I've always heard that the reason we got a TV was because Dad was at somebody's house one night and he saw I Love Lucy and he loved it and got us a TV. But we didn't get to watch it much. There wasn't much to watch. But let me tell you, television has developed into a very powerful means of communicating. And a lot that's on television tonight is not decent for human consumption. It really isn't. And a lot of it, when you watch it, it's just like hooking a sewer line up and pumping the sewer into your living room. How many of y'all would let a sewage line come into your house? You wouldn't want that. And yet multitudes of God's children are watching constantly things that are indecent, that are unfit. And don't tell me it doesn't have an effect on our way of thinking. It does. It's a powerful means of communicating. It's not just audio, it's video. And there's some shows that Nelda and I were watching and enjoying, you know, fictitious shows. And we stopped watching them because they started introducing homosexual marriage. And I tell you, I just don't want to sit and watch that. They make it look so acceptable when it's an abomination in the sight of God. And this is going on, I guess, Brother Vince, this is going on the World Wide Web. And I'd get in a lot of trouble if the wrong people see this. But that's okay. I want to stand where the Word of God stands. What about y'all? And I can tell you, America is becoming a modern Sodom and Gomorrah. And a lot of it is because of the influence of television. Television. CB Sewer. AB Sewer. NB Sewer. Now the devil's got a greater tool than television. You know what that is? The internet. Now the internet, I'm sure, serves a good purpose. I use it. I'm sure a lot of you do. But I want to tell you, it's dangerous. And parents would be well advised to make sure that your children are not allowed to watch things that they shouldn't watch. And kids know how to use the internet. When Olivia was 4 years old, she asked me, "Granddaddy, can I play some games on your phone?" And I said, "Honey, I don't have any games on my phone." And she said, "Let me see." She started downloading them. Now, those games, I'm thinking, were harmless. But kids know a lot more about that. They're high tech. And they know how to access things that the flesh is drawn to. And when Paul says, be not conformed to this world, Satan didn't have those tools back then. And yet, he was corrupting the minds of a lot of people. And let me tell you, he's using every means he can today to get us to conform to the way this world thinks. And have y'all heard about what's going on in Washington? They've come out with this agency in the government that's going to be able to tell us what is true and what is not true. Have y'all heard about that? A friend of mine from North Carolina sent me a text last night and said, Brother Sam, you reckon what primitive Baptists believe is going to be accepted as truth by that agency? I don't think so. They're not going to say that the doctrine of election and salvation by grace is the truth. Well, I'm not going to wait on them to approve it before I believe it. What about y'all? But I want to tell you, mind control is a powerful thing, and Satan wants it. And it's like 1984 coming to life. It really is a dangerous time we are in. And you and I are facing the enemy. And you're not so old, and I'm not so old, but what we have to watch out and keep our minds under control. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? By the renewing of your minds. Let me tell you, God in His design of the human body gave us something up here in our heads, between our ears, that is absolutely beyond comprehension. And it's the human mind. No computer ever built by man will ever be able to compete with the human mind. The human mind is incredible. But the human mind needs to be under the control of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all understand that tonight? Your mind needs to be transformed. And Paul would say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And let me tell you, children, when you start living the way God says to live, you'll prove to yourself that God's way is best. How many of y'all agree with that tonight? God's way is best. One man with one woman in marriage for a lifetime. Not one woman, not one man and two women, or one man and three women, or one man and one man, or one woman and one woman. No, God's way is best. Working and paying your debts, that's God's way. Not looking always for a handout from the government. And, and taking on a victim mentality. That's the thinking of the world. You and I need to have our minds transformed. So he would say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. My mind on a daily basis needs to be renewed in the Word of God and by the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now my mind is 73 years old and I am getting forgetful. You know, they say you're over the hill when your train of thought derails. And that's really bad when you're in the pulpit, Brother Wynn. But I want to tell you, my mind is still working. And I, by God's grace, can choose what I think about and what I dwell on all through the day. Are y'all with me? You and I can make a choice as to what we think about. You know, I've said this before a lot of times. that the mind is a dangerous neighborhood and you better be careful. Don't go there alone. Don't go there alone. Go there with the Word of God and go there with the Holy Spirit. Go. Your mind can be a dangerous neighborhood and can start imagining things that are very dangerous in this life. So when you begin to have your mind transformed and it's being renewed, let me tell you, you begin to think differently about things in this world. You begin to think differently about the way you look at people. Instead of looking down on people and being critical of people, you begin to see people as God's creation. They're just God's little children. They're all different from us, but they're human beings. And they deserve to be treated with love and decency and respect. You just begin to treat people differently. When your mind is being transformed, you stop going around judging everybody and you're trying to find a way to love everybody. How many of y'all are with me tonight? Where is your mind? Are you good at finding fault with others? I want to tell you, when you conform to this world, you just want to get in your seat of judgment and look down your nose at everybody. And you start thinking very highly of yourself. You get lifted up in pride. Listen, there's a lot of God's children with their nose so high in the air they could drown in a drizzle. I've seen them. I mean, proud, arrogant, looking down on everybody else. But see, when your mind begins to be transformed, all of a sudden, you begin to see people as God's creation. Every one of us in this house tonight is different. There are not two of us that are carbon copies. We're all different. But I want to tell you, you're all unique. You're special. I love you. We ought to love one another. And the Holy Spirit begins to transform our thinking. We change the way we think about money. That's important. We begin to stop being jealous about what other people have and being proud of what we have. We begin to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Now, I want to continue here in Romans 12 and look at how a transformed mind really begins to think. In verse 3, Paul would say, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And beloved, when you and I are thinking about ourselves, we ought to think of ourselves soberly in the light of God's Word. You know, there's one of the songs in our hymn book that has a line about the quicksands of despair on one side and the rocks of pride on the other side. Y'all remember that song? In other words, if Satan can get you despairing because of your sins and your weaknesses and your shortcomings, and he's just got you beat down to where you feel like you're nothing, he's got you. But if he can't get you thinking too little of yourself, he'll try to get you with the rocks of pride and get you to thinking too highly of yourself. Let me tell you, let's think soberly about ourselves. I know by nature I'm a sinner. I understand that, and I'm frail. But I want to tell you, through the Spirit of God, I'm a child of the King. I've been saved by grace. I'm on my way to glory. That's who I am, and that's who you all are. Are y'all connecting with me tonight? Don't let the devil get into your head and get you all confused. You need to know who you are in Jesus Christ. And you know who you are? You're His chosen ones. He chose you before the foundation of this world. You're His covenant children. And in time, you become His born-again children. And beloved, someday we're going to be His glorified children. That's who I am. And my thinking needs to be sober about who I am and who you all are. So your mind, you begin to think soberly when your mind is being transformed by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And listen, the Bible's not going to influence your thinking if you're not reading it. Now, I said today, people say, I just don't have time, Brother Sam, to read the Bible. But I said, what if somebody agreed to give you $1,000 for every chapter you read? How many chapters would you read tonight before you go to bed? Y'all might not even go to bed. I mean, you could make $50,000 before the sun comes up in the morning. See, it's not about our ability, it's about our motivation. And I want to tell you, there's things in this word far more valuable than money. And the more you expose your mind to it, the more your mind becomes transformed. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where the mind goes, the body will follow. As a man thinketh, the Bible says, so is he. What you think about all day long is what you're becoming. So you and I just need to be thinking good thoughts from the Holy Scriptures. So Paul would say, for I say through the grace given to me that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And you know, when you get your mind into the Word of God, you begin to think of this world in a very different way. You know, Paul, one of my favorite verses, and has been for a long time, and it's becoming more and more a favorite verse of mine. You know, you have to watch preachers, because they'll say, this is my favorite text. Next Sunday, it may be something else. But listen to this. Paul would say to Romans 8 and verse 18, for I reckon. Now, that's not just Southern talk. That word reckon is an accountant term. Things are being reconciled in Paul's mind. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Listen to what he says. The suffering of this present time, the only suffering you're going to do is right here in time. But you're not going to be in time forever. You're here for a short time, and then you're going to eternity, right? We're going to leave this world and fly away to be with Jesus in eternity. And imagine eternity as an endless line. Now that strains my mind to think about an endless line has no beginning and no end. But then you take a pencil, and you put a little dot on that endless line. And let's say that dot on an endless line represents time. And put all the time you want in that dot. Let's say a box. There is a box on this endless line, and this is time. It could be 6,000 years. It could be 10,000 years. I don't know how long time is going to last. I believe time has been going on for 6,000 years, but that's based on the genealogy of the Old Testament. But some people think it's been here 1,000,000 years. I don't care how long it's been or how long it's going to be. It's all in the little tiny box on the line. 10,000 years represented by a little dot on an endless line. And then when you focus in on Brother Sam, 73 years, boy, that does become almost insignificant, doesn't it? Are y'all with me? Am I straining y'all's minds tonight? So I want to tell you, all the suffering you're going to do, and I'm not minimizing suffering. If people are suffering, our hearts ought to go out to them. But I want to tell you, all the suffering you're going to do is right here in time, compared to an endless eternity in glory. And you know what we mostly spend our time talking about? Our suffering. Well, I want to tell you, we need to spend more time talking about the glory that's waiting on us in another world. What about it, folks? That's what we talk about at funerals. We ought to be thinking about it a lot here on earth. You might find yourself cheering up. You know, I like that song, cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it better by and by. I love that. the suffering of this present time is not worthy to even be compared to the glory that is waiting in us. And you know who wrote that? Paul, who was stoned in Lystra. He was beaten by the Romans, beaten by the Jews, shipwrecked, imprisoned much of his ministerial life. And yet he said, this suffering that I've had is not even worthy to talk about compared to the glory that I'm going to experience when Jesus comes and gets me and takes me to heaven. What we're looking at tonight, folks, is not a fairy tale. This is not Mickey Mouse stuff. This is the Word of God. And the more your minds are on it, the better off you're going to be in this present world. See, when your mind is renewed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, first news you know, you'll catch yourself singing, even though you may not be able to sing. I mean, there's a lot to sing about, isn't it? The sweet by and by. Makes the now and now pretty sweet to me. You know, when you think about what's going on right now in America, it's kind of sad in a way. I'm gonna divert back to the world just a minute. See, I'm old enough. I was born in 1948. I remember the nuclear threat when Cuba, you remember when the Russians were going to put nuclear missiles in Cuba. A lot of y'all don't remember that. You've read about it. But you know what they were teaching us to do out in Danville? In case of a nuclear war, get under the school desk. Now what good's that going to do? Well, a nuclear explosion comes. Well, we're now people talking about another nuclear war. I'm old enough to remember inflation in the 1970s when inflation was sky high and interest rates went to 20%. How'd you like to go get a house loan and pay 20% interest? Now we're experiencing a lot of inflation right now. Crime. I remember how bad it was in the 80s and 90s. Crime. New York City was a war zone. We're experiencing that again. And it's all coming on us at one time. And listen, if you like to worry, you're in luck because there's a lot to worry about. But I don't want y'all to worry. I don't want y'all to live in fear. Y'all can smile if you will. That's not going to offend me. You say, Brother Sam, get in reality. I want to tell you, this is reality. I'm not ignoring the fact that we live in a broken, dying world, but I am going to put it all in the context of God's sovereign grace and His everlasting love and a world far better than this one that's waiting on us. And see, when your minds are being renewed by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And that's one reason you need to be in church. And that's one reason you need to be reading your Bible. And I'm not saying you got to spend 30 minutes every day reading the book. Listen. How many of y'all can recite the 23rd Psalm? That is amazing, isn't it? You say, well, I can't memorize, Sam. I just can't. All right, we're going to give you $50,000 next week if you can come over here and recite the 23rd Psalm. Come on, folks. $50,000? Yeah, I can memorize it. I want to tell you, you hide the 23rd Psalm in your heart and in your mind, and all of a sudden, the Lord is my shepherd. That right there is enough to cause us to just lose our cares. He's my shepherd. Wow. I shall not want. You know, goodness, I was going to get into all this chapter tonight because it does get into detail about how we're to think, but it's 7:45 and y'all have been here yesterday, this morning and tonight. So we're going to sing a song now and give an opportunity for membership in the church. Do we have a selection, Brother Donnie? 272. Oh, I love this song by Sister Darlene Collins. I was blessed to be in her home one time in Texas. Their house, they lived in a mobile home, and it was flipped over by a tornado. And it was a frightening time, and they lost everything. But the next morning, she said, it was so quiet and peaceful. And she was inspired to write this song. I want us to sing it with understanding tonight.